Hey, you guys, welcome back to Tell Me Why You're Special with your favorite podcast host, Brandon Lynette. That's me, in case you're wondering. And you guys know what this is. You know what I'm here to do. There is no, warm up. We didn't have a pre-interview. There's no soft landing. We are straight to the truth because that is the only thing we're showing up for, okay? Today's guest traded Australian heat for Canada rain. I think she's missing the heat a lot today. Traded diet culture for something that actually worked, and traded a version of herself that was surviving for one that is genuinely, unapologetically thriving. And she is funny. I could tell she's, I love her energy with just like the 1 minute we talked before I hit record. But I love it because I feel like she's keeping her sense of humor through the hard times kind of funny. And that's the best kind of funny. The things that make you laugh at things you should probably be crying about. But the greatest thing is she wrote a book. She raised three humans and she climbed a lot of mountains. She's lost 103 pounds and has kept it off for a decade without doing any of the things the wellness industry would have you believe are the only way. So she's going to tell you how and why and what it actually cost her to get here. So, Jane McGinnis, I'm so excited to have you on. I'm excited for today's conversation. It's been a long day. I felt like, man, I'm kind of tired, but you just like pumped me right up. I'm like, I could sit in this chair for 30 more minutes, you guys, just to hang out with her. So, Jane, welcome to Tell Me Why You're Special. I'm super excited.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here and I'm looking forward to this conversation too. It's definitely time we all, cut through the diet culture BS. There's just so much noise and nonsense out there, and I know for myself, I had to figure it out and cut through it all. And yeah, if I can help a couple of people do that and provide some, common sense, I always say, is not that common. And it's just about, we really need to bring that back to the
I agree.
big time.
I agree. Everybody I bring in here, I throw in the hot seat. So that's where you are. This is your elevator pitch. Just who you are, what did you write, and why did you have to write it?
You know what? I had to write this, always hungry. I had to write this for a lot of reasons. Not only did I sort of set my world on fire, leave a safe marriage, I realized I wasn't happy. Navigated raising three kids, one neurodivergent and non-binary, in a different country. And you know what? Really, at the crux of why I wanted to write this was that I figured out if we don't heal emotionally and figure out what we're doing in the pantry, in the fridge at, midnight, 2 a.m., we don't figure out like what we're comfort eating for. Any diet is just, it's a quick fix. It'll work for 5 minutes. It's not going to work long term. So when I realized, okay, you've got to heal from internally first before you can heal long term externally, thought this message needs to get out there because there's too many people that don't realize they're trying the next diet, that's just the diet industry keeps peddling without getting to the root causes of what they're actually hungry for, which is why, of course, always hungry. It was never about the food. So that was one reason. And the other reason was that I realized when I reclaimed my health and wound up in this sort of, I'd say average size body, my life became a whole lot easier. And that wasn't fair because slim privilege is real and I live it now. And when I was in a much larger body, like, honestly, people were assholes. Sometimes women were worse than the men. Not always. Some people were kind, but most people aren't kind if you're in a larger body. And I wanted to speak out and say, this is not okay. Why is it now that I have this privilege? Because by virtue of the fact that I have this slim privilege, that means other people out there are still at a disadvantage. It's 2026 and we're still being unkind and judging people in larger bodies. And that's not okay. So that was one of the sort of deeper reasons that I wanted to write this memoir, and super honest, it's very raw, and I just wanted to put it all out there and say, not okay.
I see that, and I see how people could be mean, but there's also a perspective of like people genuinely care, and when you're in a larger body, you're not healthy, you're not happy. And I think the body positivity culture went way off its rocker because that's it's not okay to celebrate and stay where you are.
Yeah, and I absolutely won't judge another, but I know my lived experience was that I wasn't comfortable or happy because I wasn't eating out of physical hunger. So I wasn't respecting the food. I'm a foodie, I love food, but I wasn't respecting my body. I wasn't respecting food. And I love to ski, I love to mountain bike, I love to hike and do longer caminos and travel. And frankly, if I'm in a larger body, I can't do those things with ease. I also didn't want to die. I mean, I've got three kids I want to be here for. And so I realized I need to make these permanent changes for myself, for them. And so that, I believe we get this one life and this one body, and I wanted to start to respect it and care for it. But for sure, I mean, there's a lot of very real reasons due to trauma. Some people have big T, small T trauma. There are reasons they might be emotionally eating, that disordered eating. Often it goes back to our childhood. So do this, get a therapist, do the self-help books, like excavate. That's what I had to do to heal. I had to get to the bottom of what was going on. So yeah, I don't like to judge, but personally for myself, I was not comfortable and energized in a larger body. I felt like crap. I couldn't buy the clothes I wanted, and I wasn't happy. I wasn't eating because I had this voracious appetite. I was just sad. You sad. So many people do it. We're sad. We go to the fridge, and it doesn't work. It didn't work because my pants didn't fit, and I was exhausted. And that was really sad.
And I do think people come from that perspective too. But this is the thing. So you're a registered clinical counselor, you have the credentials, you have the framework. And this is what I want my audience to see. You still spent years inside an emotional eating disorder. So what does that feel like to know exactly what's happening to you psychologically, but you're still not able to stop it?
No, it's a great question. I mean, I actually went back to school, did my MA after when I separated, like during the divorce. So I'd lost a lot of the weight at that point. I began with walking. I had to reject diet culture, stop with the ridiculous diet of the month, and just start eating real food. I mean, sure, I did the protein drinks, which helped if I'm in a pinch and I need protein. But ultimately, I just try and keep it real whole food, make sure just it's balance and moderation, and it takes a long time. And some people don't want to hear that because it's work. And yes, it is. Like, I think most things in life worth having are hard work. And that's, and it's still work some days. I'm not going to lie and say it's easy. We all want a quick fix. So when I learned the psychological aspects, I mean, I started reading Janine Roth's books and some other things. So I started educating myself and obviously got very, very interested in the study of human behavior. And so I was sort of going down that path and then going into studying psychology. Going to counseling seemed like the right next step. And so it certainly deepened my understanding of past disordered eating. But I'd already done a lot of work on my own, I guess, in terms of researching and figuring it out. And then I thought, okay, I can help others. And I want to, which is why I wrote this book. And my next book is going to be a bit more lived experience of my own, of course. So it's very personal and intimate, but also the how and why of the puzzle pieces that go into not only losing, but maintaining the loss in a healthy way. Because that's, I think, really, really hard for people to do. And there are so many puzzle pieces that go into it for myself anyway, in terms of maintaining my health. And I just want to humbly share what I've learned. And honestly, if one person benefits, it is worth writing.
I love this conversation today, and the timing's perfect because I'm in it. I am in that where I got tired of the diet culture and I had to figure out, like, okay, what the hell is going on? Because, a lot of my problems, it just never made sense that I could not change my body. I felt so good. I'm like, I feel so good. I don't understand why there's so much squish, And I went through the process. Like, it's taken a long time. And number one, it wasn't even about what I was eating. It's like I have to get my nervous system in check, and I need to figure out, like, why I'm always in fight or flight. Like, first of all, disengage your body, because it doesn't matter what I do if I still freak out. And I think that really helped the emotional eating. And it's taken months to do that, like months to do that. And so now that I feel very secure and I feel grounded, and I'm like, okay, I love talking about Jesus, and I have to tell people about him. And I'm like, I can't steward this mission if I'm not healthy. I can't tell anybody about taking care of themselves when they're going to look at me and judge all of that. And I respect that. Like, going to respect a 300-pound person telling you, to live for Christ. They're going to be like, you live for Cheetos. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the truth of it. It's the truth of it. And so my life is boring now, and I've had to, like, eat copious amounts of protein. I never ate that much in my life, and it's because I have to force myself to eat that. And I'm like, just do it. It's so boring. I eat ground beef and rice, like, every single day. But you know what's happening? Everything's working, right? Like,
Exactly.
I had an emotional day yesterday. Guess where I wasn't, you guys? I wasn't standing in front of the fridge eating my feelings because I figured it out. I could feel it. My body was grounded. And I'm like, okay,
Oh, I love that.
yeah. And being emotional for me, what'll happen is I won't eat at all. That's the worst. And so I still had to make myself eat yesterday. So I love this conversation so much. And you talk about emotional eating. I want to separate that from the way that diet culture uses it as a character flaw or like willpower failure. What is emotional eating actually, and what's it trying to do? Because I think most people who really lose it have never had someone. I want to hear how you explain it. I want
For
them.
sure. Well, because you touched on two really powerful things then. And I think what's really important is yes, I also had to figure out I wasn't getting enough protein. So of course I was craving simple carbs and sugar. And because my body was desperate for protein and at 48, I mean, we know that it's even more important you get into perimenopause and they say post like women need to get enough protein. We all do. So that was key, still is. I mean, loads of fruit and veggies too, of course, but the protein. But the other thing you touched on, which I learned, and that's key, is that interoceptive awareness. Because when we're dysregulated, we're in the sympathetic, the nervous system, kicks in, where we can't engage the parasympathetics because we're in the kitchen. Like we're just, like you say, it's that fight or flight. And that's when often people, and I mean, I know it because I lived it. We're not tasting the food. We're trying to feel safe in the body. There's no grounded calm. Like so many people, some of their whole lives will just live sort of from the neck up. So firstly, we've got to get back into the body with interoceptive awareness. We've got to feel it, like re-engage those signals of hunger and fullness. What's going on? I mean, I know myself now, I meditate every morning. Yoga, even if I only have 5 minutes or 10 for yoga, I make sure I do something to reconnect. And maintaining this health and on this journey, I've learned that it's even more and more important as life gets busier. And I've got three grown children now. There's a lot of moving pieces, of course, in everyone's world. And I think figuring out how to find that calm within yourself, sort of like dropping anchor, which I teach clients too. If you picture during a storm, the ship's able to drop anchor so that you're safe. And we need to do that because I know myself. If I find myself in the kitchen and I'm not hungry and I'm in there looking in the cupboard, I stop and I'm like, what's going on here? And usually it's stress. It's an uncomfortable conversation. It's something that I realize, okay, I need to deal with that because, eating, just going and I don't know, whatever it is I'm grabbing, Even if it's a handful of nuts, like if I'm eating a ton of nuts and they're super healthy, great. But if my body's not hungry and I don't need them, I'm taking in more than my body needs. And that's why my Substack is called All Things Moderation. It's a boring word, but it works. It's all about like moderate. Take a walk, have a few nuts instead of like a cupful. Because if I've done it before, I've had a cupful, they're delicious. Then I get a stomach ache because I've eaten a shitload of nuts I did not need, So it's balance and moderation. And I really think that, some people don't like that word. They think it's a license to just have everything, anything. But I think honestly, I know if I'm embracing moderation, my pants are doing up. If they're not, okay, something's out of balance, I mean, it's just common sense. It really is.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And it's not just that it's common sense. I just feel like it's so simple that people don't believe it and they don't want to put in the work. Like we have such an excessive microwave mentality. Everybody wants something now and they want to feel something now. So that's why we go for the dopamine hits. That's why we're snacking. That's why we're scrolling all day. That's why we're checked out and mindless. And that's why people are walking around not in their bodies. And that's when we start to lose sight of like the actual truth. And I just think immediately, and I'm guilty of this. I'm not speaking from a place that I've not lived. I've been in the hells, the pits of hell, in this struggle forever. So there's definitely not a place where, I'm not where you guys are if you're struggling with this, but wanting it right now, like the minute you release that, and God did this for me. Like I wake up, I read the Bible every day. I'm like, I need to stay grounded in that. That is my anchor. That is my whole everything. So I ground in that, and that's the moment where I had to give that to him. Like I can't have this right away, but I really want to love who I am today. So I love who I am today without, hey guys, it's cool to not be healthy in my body. Like I'm not promoting that, but I love myself enough to know like wake up at 5:30 in the morning, get your butt on the vibration plate, get your weights done, go to the gym, do your treadmill, like do the things. And I do it out of love now, not because I want to be, a size zero. It is like I don't need, and trust me, the change is slow, you guys. I've been eating clean for like almost 3 months now, and scale barely moves. And there's days where I'm like, what are you doing? But what else am I going to do?
No, and I love that too, because you're right. There are days when I don't want to get out of bed and go and do the hike, or it's raining here in Vancouver, but I know I'm going to feel better afterwards. My body's going to function better. I mean, we know that the brain cleans out toxins when we exercise. Like there's no reason not to, and if you are tired, then just commit to like 10 minutes. I find like at the Peloton, if I really don't feel like a workout, I'm like, right, I'm gonna do 20 minutes. I figure I can do anything for 20 minutes. And sometimes I use that Mel Robbins, the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I will use that tool of hers. It's brilliant. And I'm like, right, I'm gonna get on there. And it's just, then of course you get going, gets, the blood pumping, like you get the happy chemicals going. It's just, yeah, it's so important. And I love that you said that you do it out of love, because I feel exactly the same way now. It's like, okay, I'm going to care for this body because I don't want to die. I want to have energy for the rest of the day. And something else I think you touched on, which I think's really important to just reiterate to everyone, it's that, big food has a lot to answer for, because I mean, they know the junk food, everything they're producing out there, the ultra
In the
processed
United
foods.
States, we're bombarded.
Oh, and it's addictive. It's designed to be addictive. It is really, really tough. And what I learned sort of after the fact, I realized I'd healed my microbiome without knowing what I was doing at the time. Because of course, the more I incorporated a ton of vegetables and just way more, and I'll still have, I love sourdough. Like I'll still have, I'll have healthy carbs in moderation. I won't just go and eat a ton of it, of course. I try and avoid ultra processed food, like at all times, unless, of course, like I'm not
It
saying,
happens.
yeah, I'm not saying if you're at a party or whatever, I'm not saying don't enjoy. But for the most part, when I eat clean, whole, real foods, my microbiome's working better. We know that the gut produces most of our serotonin, so if that's not working, of course we're not going to feel good. Then we end up with anxiety, we end up with depression, all of these other things present. So yeah, and it's just, I think, taking a holistic view, which is why I really much prefer to be in the kitchen, cooking with whole foods. It's just makes all the difference. And then we're properly full, because we eat enough fiber, of course, our tummy's happy. We're full, then I'm not going and looking for the ice cream or whatever it is,
No, and it works. And I know a lot of people are stuck on this idea that, we've been brainwashed to think that eating healthy is expensive. It is not. We're perfectly forward on every single meal. And like I'm on a budget. We do incredible. It is very affordable. It's very affordable. I will say, do I get bored sometimes? Yeah, because I'm being very strict on what I do, just because I take my stewardship seriously, right? So there will be a point where it's not going to be so aggressive for me, but this has to learn to be second nature. Until that's second nature for me, until I don't have to think about it, this kind of the track I'm on is that disciplined way of eating. And that's going to get me where I want to be at this moment in the season. I can't imagine it not something I ever have to think about all the time, but so you're an Aussie, the sun, and now you're in North Vancouver. You've been there for 12 years. You hike, you bike, you escape to the mountains. I want you to tell me about the version of Jane who couldn't do those things, or like wouldn't do those things. What has changed in your mind and your relationship to it beyond the number on the scale?
Well, it's a good point, because on this, and it's a great question. I mean, on this journey, what I did, what I figured out, and it all really did coincide with going through the divorce, all of that. I had to recognize and come to realize that my self-worth has nothing to do with my external form, because that was, gosh, I mean, it was always tied up in the way I looked when I looked in the mirror and the way I felt. And so that was key to unpack. I have to say that Way back when, I mean, my eldest was on the spectrum and not diagnosed. So I had three little kids. My husband was working long hours, so I was overwhelmed. I was struggling, and food was my escape. Like that was the crutch, which, yeah. And it's just such, it's easy, it's quick, it's comfort. But of course, it was just super unhealthy, and I just spiraled. And so it was when, after the birth of my third child, I looked in the mirror and I just, I felt like crap. I wasn't happy in my body. And I thought, okay, something has to change. And I knew that the quick fix diets were not the answer. I knew, okay. And I really did start with walking. And I mean, I certainly couldn't have hiked a mountain like I do now when I first began. And I really just started building on that, making small sustainable changes over time. And of course there were, I dived, I sort of along the way, tried a few different things and ultimately realized that the quick fixes, the diet of the month, all of that stuff, like, the cutting out carbs, cutting out dairy, or cutting out, whatever it is, a complete, even sugar, omitting it completely. I mean, of course I love it. I just try not to have very much, try and avoid refined sugar. If I have a little bit, it's not the end of the world. So again, it was that balance, just learning that. And I also learned that if I was to forbid something and say, right, I'm never again having bread or ice cream ever, well, that's not going to work, because then it's the one thing I want for the next month until, because any, if I learned that with any kind of extreme restriction, well, all you think about then is the one thing you're telling yourself you're never allowed to have. So it came down to balance, recognizing my self-worth and sort of stepping into that confidence, that grows, I think, as we age with maturity and realizing actually what someone else thinks of my body is none of their business. I'm doing this for me. I realize this is because I want to feel well and healthy, not because I want to look a certain way for a man, for society, for anybody else, for me. So that's really key. And for my children, because I wanted to set an example for them and show them what, okay, this is what I find and I believe like a healthy balance looks like in life. And I still love food. I'm a foodie, and I mean, my kids all love good food. And I think it's really, really important that they also respect it. I mean, just rewinding a tiny bit, if I may, just quickly, because you mentioned with the cost of food. And I do think for sure, like, I think meal prep's important. Like, I'll always roast veggies and have things on hand, so I'm not snap. So I'm not just grabbing whatever's there. I think some, and still after all these years, some planning is really, really helpful with just making sure I have things in the fridge that I can grab ready to go to throw into a big salad that are done. Like, I'll make sure I've got some protein cooked, like whatever it is, like chicken breasts or whatever that are just ready to go. I think that's really, really helpful. And just a little planning ahead of, and also shopping the sales or the farmers markets or whatever for whatever's in season, because then the fruit and vegetables, if you're buying in season, going to taste better, it's going to be a better price. So it does take a bit of planning and effort, but I think most things in life do if they're worth having. So we do have to put a little work and effort into
I think
Yeah.
what you're saying about that the diet culture and telling yourself you can't have something, I just want to touch back on that for a second. Something that has worked really well for me that has kind of shifted gears for everything. I was that person. I would tell my whole family, okay, because I'm a sugar addict. Like some
Yeah.
people are addicted to
Me
drugs, some
too.
people are addicted to porn. I'm a sugar addict, okay? So
Yeah.
I, would tell myself I'm quitting sugar. I would go through 3 days of a hard detox and I would feel really good. And that one day that I would try something and think that I could stop, I didn't. It wouldn't be
Yeah.
just one cookie. It's like the whole box of cookies is gone. And then it's been 6 months and I'm like, oh, dang, I didn't quit sugar, did I? And so the thing that kind of shifted for me is that perspective of like, just my relationship with Christ. It's like, I want to feel the best today. How can I feel the best today? I want to eat the things that are going to make me feel really good. So I've never told myself I can't have it, but I really focus on like how good I want to feel, and I know what it does to me. I know how it makes me feel. I know how clouded it makes me. I know it affects my mood swings. It affects my nervous system. It affects everything. So now it's that perspective of like, okay, I want to feel really good, so I'm going to eat the bowl of meat. Okay, I'm just going to eat the bowl of meat. Or if there's times where I'm like, especially when Mother Nature's coming for her monthly visit and I want sugar so bad. And I'm like, okay, so we're gonna toast some sourdough with some butter and we're gonna put fresh honey on it. Okay. I'm not,
Exactly.
I stop at the one piece. I don't feel terrible. I don't beat myself up. And I'm like, I'm gonna get back on how can I feel so good today? Like, I wanna feel my
Yeah.
best. I can't call people to their potential. I can't say, all the jingles in the world, you have to steward your potential. You have to get your message out to the world if I'm not 100% head to toe. And
And
so,
I love what you said there when you said you don't beat yourself up. Like you let yourself have a piece of toast with honey, and like the world doesn't end. And I think for a long time, particularly when I got to maintenance, there was a lot of fear around regaining in the early days. So I would then, I wouldn't, I would try and avoid it, or I would think, oh no, I can't have that, But of course, you don't suddenly gain 100 pounds having a piece of sourdough and honey. It's having the one piece and allowing yourself, because as if it was completely forbidden, of course, that's all I would think about. And so it's, yeah, again, it's taking away the forbidden aspect of any food and then asking yourself, as you said, how will I feel if I've eaten it? And if I have eaten just that all day, am I going to have energy the next day? Like, am I going to feel well in my body? That's key. That's, yeah, so wise
yeah, and
to
when your
figure that
schedule is
out.
busy, you can't afford to hit that crash. Like,
Yeah.
I just can't afford to not feel good. I can't. I've obligated my schedule to a lot of people, and I'm doing a big disservice if I'm not showing up here 100%. And
Yeah.
the cool thing is that's helped with alcohol for me as well, where I'm like, I have to be clear-headed. I want to be clear-headed. I want to be 100% for my guests, because how beautiful is it that you're taking time out to talk with me? So why would I half-ass show up? That's not fair to anybody.
Yeah. Oh, likewise. No, and I mean, there's another perfect example of moderation, because I mean, I love a glass of red, but I won't have one very often anymore because, well, firstly, at 48, my body is just like, hell no, we do not want alcohol. So, yeah, it's something I'll have occasionally, but most of the time I'll avoid it right now because it just interferes with my sleep. I don't have energy the next day.
All of
Yeah,
that.
100%. Yeah. So it's just,
I have
no,
a last question for you, because we're about to come up on our time here.
of
And
course.
I know right now someone is listening who has a very complicated, probably painful, absolutely shameful relationship with food, and they've never said it out loud to anyone. So what is one thing that you want to say to that person? And then I want you to tell us about your book and where we can find it.
Sure, absolutely. You know what I would say to that person struggling? I would say real change is possible. We can, you can heal your body and your relationship with food. Self-compassion is key, like whether it's, and then finding a therapist or maybe buying a book that can help you get to the bottom of what's really at play when you're emotionally eating. Like what exactly, what are we hungry for? Like what needs healing in the body, whether it's small T, big T trauma. Yeah, getting to the bottom of that. But I would like to say that it is absolutely possible to heal, and it's possible to find peace, find that balance in the body and reclaim your health. And it takes time, no question. But when we do it slowly and sustainably, then it's then you can we can actually maintain our health. Absolutely. And it's possible. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that, because I'm in it, right? I'm in it 3 months in, and I probably have like 9 more to go, and I don't care. I don't care how long it takes. It's just one day at a time. Let's just keep doing the next right thing. Where can we find your book?
Exactly. You're absolutely right. It is one day at a time. So, Jen McGuinness, so Always Hungry, How I Lost the Weight and Found Myself. You can find it on Amazon. It's on Audible, the Kindle, if you like an ebook. And then Jane McGuinness, the author.com, is a link to all of my socials, a link to Barnes and Noble, like Amazon, all of the bookstores. Yeah.
I love that.
And
I love that. So, Jane, first of all, I love that you have cheesecake on your cover, because that's like my favorite. So just probably
Same.
stare at the cheesecake all day. That is my number one weakness. If someone showed up with some cheesecake right now, yes, I'm very strict. Take a couple bites, okay? I'm doing it. But this is what I want you to know about what makes you special. It's not the 103 pounds. It's not the decade of maintenance, although that is extraordinary and you should absolutely own it. What makes you special is that you did not package your healing to a program and sell it out the door. You sat down and wrote the whole thing. wrote about the discrimination, the divorce, the emotional eating, the complicated, hilarious, heartbreaking truth of being a human woman navigating a world that has very specific opinions about what your body is allowed to look like on every
Yes.
spectrum.
Oh.
Writing it with humor and honesty in equal measure, and that combination is rare because usually people choose one and they either get raw and heavy or they get funny and protected. But you literally did both, and that takes courage that a lot of writers, I'm telling you, they spend their whole career trying to find. And the fact that you're a therapist who has also been the patient, who's done the deep excavation on yourself and is now willing to go public about that. That makes you a real relatable guide that your clients and your readers and these listeners can actually trust because you're not guessing, you lived it. So, Jane, I want to say thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being honest. And thank you for taking the time to be funny about the unfunny stuff because the Lord knows that we need all of that. And to everyone listening, you guys, this show is for you. The you that is tired of being at war with your body, the you that has started over so many times you've lost count, the you that has never told anyone how deep the relationship with food actually goes, what it's covering, what it's soothing, and what it's been holding together for years. I'm going to say this because I say it on every show. Your mess is your message. Jane didn't lose 103 pounds and then write a book. She healed, like actually healed from the inside out. And the weight was what happened as a result. That's a completely different story than the one that diet culture keeps shoving down your ass, and it's not working. What she's done works. So please go get Always Hungry, How I Lost the Weight and Found Myself. It is in the show notes. If any part of today's conversation touched something in you, that book is the next step, okay? And then you guys know, don't be a selfish hoe, share the show, okay? I know someone else says, don't be a hoe, share the show. And I don't want to steal it, but also it's the truth. Like, don't be selfish. You are attached to someone that I can't reach. And the fact that Jane's here, we need you to reach that person through this show. So please share the podcast. Make sure you guys are subscribed. There's no point in missing an episode because every conversation thus far has been incredibly amazing. So I need you guys to tune in and tell me if I ever have one that sucks because I doubt I will. This is like the greatest job in the world right now. But please, I'm here every week for the real conversations, the ones that matter, the ones that are going to make you feel less alone in whatever you're carrying. Thanks again, Jane, and you guys, I'll see you in the arena.
Oh, thank you so much, Brandon, for having me. It was an absolute pleasure. And yeah, thank you to your listeners too for taking the time. Really, really appreciate it. And cheers.
That was so great.
Oh my gosh, totally. Is it okay if I, would you mind if I take a photo to share on socials
Oh,
just to
no,
let people
please
know it's
do.
coming
Yeah.
up? Thanks, because I just realized it's a good way to start to promote and shout out and say, hey, this will be coming up. Check out, this future podcast, and I'll let people know. And thank you, because I love the fact that you're super candid and honest about your journey. Because people, yeah, A, it's really tough to do the work, and it's I know, because and it's super impressive that you're reaching this for the same reason. You're reaching people because you're wanting to say, hey, we can do this. Like, there's a way. You show up, you do the work. It's not easy, but it's doable,
Yeah. I mean, I had to. I'm watching all these people like line up for shots and line up for the next diet fad. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm done. I'm done with all of them. I'm doing this my way. I'm doing it to show them it can be done. So.
Oh, no, and good for you, because honestly, I do believe really. I mean, I won't judge anyone else's choice, but what I do know is that, there are side effects. I don't believe that there is any, I don't think, forgive the pun, but I don't think there's any such thing as a free lunch. And actually, my ex-boyfriend, who's in the book, Dr. A, he's a funny chapter. So Dr. A said to me, because we're still friends, he said he thinks Ozempic is a class action just waiting to happen.
Oh,
Like,
I mean, yeah.
for sure. Like, he thinks it's the days coming where there was going to be a whole lot of people with side effects, because we're messing with things that, I don't want to judge others, but at the same time, like, I don't see, if you haven't done that, if you're not doing the inner work, it's still a Band-Aid
Matter what
solution.
you're doing. Yeah, it doesn't matter what you're doing.
Exactly.
You stop taking the shot, everything caves, and then you have to go back and you rubber band the cycle, and that's harder on your body than anything. Like that rubber band is taking years off your life. And I just think, yeah, I love what you're doing. I wish you all the best on your book. I'll definitely be praying for your journey and that you're reaching the right
Thank
people.
you.
And I
And
love
I can, oh, sorry. No, I apologize. I cut you off. I was just going to say, if you would like, I've got some free Audible codes. I can send you a code if you want to listen to it, if you're into audiobooks. Like, I would totally email you a code if you're curious, or if you know anybody who would like to listen to it, I'll send it through.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Well,
Yeah.
let's sell your book through the link. Let people ask
Thank you.
for that. Let's do that. But yeah, that would be fabulous. That's amazing.
Totally. Yeah, of course. May I ask, how long from the recording until what is the time until you typically get these up? Like, what do you do?
So let me tell you where you're at this week. This show is going to be up on the 18th.
Oh, wow, that's brilliant.
Yeah, so you'll be on the
Oh, thank
18th.
you.
All the Podmatch links are going to be up there now. I send the YouTube and I put the audio
Cool.
version, but none of it's going to work until Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh no, that's brilliant. Oh my goodness. Well, let me know what else I need to. Yeah, if you need anything else from me, I gather, I guess my link, the link tree and the photo and everything's already up on my profile. But I'm just so grateful that I really am grateful. I really, really enjoyed that conversation.
You're amazing. Your energy's great. I love your mission. And yeah, I'm definitely praying for all the best for you.
Oh, and likewise. Yeah, likewise. Now I'll be checking in and watching your show. I mean, honestly, it's
Fabulous.
totally. Yeah,
Absolutely.
absolutely.
I have met the greatest people. I am just like in awe. I'm like, man, do I really like God called me to this? I get to just hang out with cool people all day long. So
And you're a natural too. You really are a natural at this. 'Cause I've done a few of these in the past, like when the first book first came out in October, and then I sort of took some quiet time and realized, no, I've got to get back out there. I need to share this book with people if they're going to find it, and I need to keep spreading this message. And yeah, a lot of interviewers do not have your gift of just, I don't know, knowing what to ask and being there and just being vivacious and like, yeah, you're somebody that people are going to want to listen to. And I'm super grateful that I think there are no coincidences. The universe sent me here so that we could have this conversation.
Yeah, always. Well, I'm going to make sure to get resourced with everything. And I'll have
Yes.
everything in the show notes for people as well. But I appreciate you. And if there's anything I could do to help you, let me know. Because
Oh,
I know what
thank you.
it's like to be an author and to want to get your book out there. And it's like an uphill battle. So I can
Oh my
relate to
gosh,
that. If
yeah.
you ever have questions or, just want to vent about it,
Oh,
girl, I
thanks.
hear you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Brandon. No, that means a lot because, yeah, this is my first rodeo, so it is all new.
Yeah, and
Like,
it's a rodeo. Like that's a great
oh my
definition
God.
because
Yeah.
you're
It
in it.
really is.
And there's no
Steep
crowd.
learning curve.
Like you're putting yourself on the bull and there's no one to even witness. You're just kind of alone. And I feel that sometimes it gets tough.
Yeah.
So I feel
Yeah,
that.
absolutely.
But awesome.
Definitely.
It was so great meeting you. I've got to prep. I have another show coming up at
Oh, of
4:30.
course.
So I'm gonna jump off
Cool.
here. But oh my gosh, have a great day. Thank you so much.
Oh,
You're
you
amazing.
too. Cheers. Thanks so
Bye.
much, Brad. Bye. Bye.